No, you can push it. Okay, let it go. Come on.
So we stand introducing our first hymn this morning, number 14, O Worship the King, and we will sing verses 1, 2, and 4. Shall we sing?
Thank you. opportunities that we have coming up. This coming Saturday at 5:30, we have our potluck dinner, penny pound auction. There'll be more on that later. A reminder, next Sunday at 9:15, the singing ensemble meets again and rehearses. This is the last week for the dress kits. They are out in the hall. Pick them up, and they have to be returned by May 20th. May 22nd at 7 p.m., the church council meets. And June 10th at 11 o'clock is the spring business meeting after worship. Lunch and chat of care, excuse me, will be provided. At this moment, Jim, would you like to come up? Oh, I'm sorry. Pastor would like to speak for the penny pound auction.
Actually, we have an amazing preview of the penny pound auction for you this morning. Amy?
All right.
It's all yours.
Hey, everybody. That's a scary sentence. Okay, is everybody ready to start bidding? I know you are, but great.
Nope.
Okay, let's go. This little lovely right here.
A penny.
Okay, bidding can only be done at home owners. This little guy right here is, let's see. Let me be clear. Take note what I stated, because the contents within are not close to outdated. So don't be afraid to sample a few. I'll bet you'll agree that they're just like brand new. Can you take it?
$1.
$1.
$2.
$2.
Great.
$3.
$5.
$5. $5.
$20.
$20.
Whoa.
Okay, now the challenge is, how do I get it up there?
But you know what? I don't want it. I don't want it. Aim, I don't want it.
Oh, well, let's have somebody else.
Can you give it to Terry?
Miss Lorene can open it.
Give it, no, Terry.
No, no, no.
Terry.
Amy.
Terry, aim.
Amy.
Terry. No, right, yep,
oh,
right,
right
there.
Right here? All right.
Yes, absolutely.
You have to show everybody that's part of the game. Sorry.
Well, love you.
Thank you. Dollar.
Do I have $2?
$3.
$3. $4? $5 over there?
$7.
$5? All right, who's the $5? Right over here. Going once. Going twice. Saturday night, we'll have a potluck at 5:30, and we will have the auction at 6. And now I'd like to invite Ginny to come forward for our mission moment.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning. Today I'm going to speak about the one great hour of sharing for this month. It's an offering that makes the love of Christ real for individuals and communities around the world who suffer from the effects of disaster, conflict, or severe economic hardship, and those who serve them through gifts and money and time. How can one person help? Depending on where you are, you can sponsor a child, plant a tree, rebuild a home, visit a prisoner, be a mentor, teach, serve a meal, or bring water to a desert. You can pray or donate. The opportunities are endless, and they are right here, just waiting for you. What part of our world is waiting for you to make a difference? Please consider donating to the One Great Hour of Sharing in honor of our mothers. Thank you.
Thank you.
along with me in your bulletin for the invitation to worship. I will read the light print if you will read the dark. Welcome home.
God bids us come.
Find rest for our weariness.
Find peace deeper than our worry.
Welcome home.
All you lost, wandering, stuck in despair.
Welcome.
To God's arms, as wide as Father's care, as warm as Mother's love.
Ron, what would you like to sing this morning?
260.
260, third verse.
us, O God, to another Lord's Day when we are privileged to worship you with our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we have unity of mind and heart as we open ourselves to the movement of your Holy Spirit. As your love grows within us, may we have rich fellowship with you and with one another. We pray in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
I invite our ushers to come forward at this time to receive this morning's offering.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me home, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me home to your light. Take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me home. When my ways grow drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my call, take my hand. Lest I fall, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
We know that they are just an incarnation of your love. because you knew us, Lord, before we were born, and each and every day you watch out for us and you care for us, and we know that each one of us has our own special relationship with you. In the name of your Son we pray, amen.
All right, my friends, we can go back and sit for a few moments, and then we will head down for Sunday school.
I've been told everybody knows this song, so I hope you can help me.
Sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world.
And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. As many of you know, I really enjoy reading. I read a lot, not just for pleasure. I also read about current events, and every week I read several commentaries and articles about the scripture for the week. Well, this week, while reading an article by Kate Huey published in Feed Your Spirit, which is a United Church of Christ publication, I learned a new word. Now, given how much I read, that's pretty unusual, as I'm sure it is for many of you. When reading, unless we're reading a technical manual of some sort, words are familiar friends in their many guises. There are past, present, future tenses of verbs. There are singular and plural nouns. There are plenty of adjectives and adverbs. And usually, we don't come across many words that send us scurrying to the dictionary, or in my case, dictionary.com. But this week I did. In reading Kate Huey's article, I came across the word liminal. Now, I have to pause here and tell you that as I wrote my notes for this sermon, my spell check didn't recognize that word either. So how often do we get the chance to add a new word to the spell check on our computers? Anyway, Ms. Huey referred to the place where the disciples were during the Last Supper and Jesus' final discourse in prayer as a liminal place. I sat there thinking, liminal. What or where is a liminal? Is it a limited minimal? Or perhaps it's something akin to a rental place? I couldn't figure out the meaning from the context of the word in a sentence, so it was time to consult the dictionary. According to the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, liminal is an adjective. It comes from the Latin noun limen, which is defined as the threshold of a physiological or psychological response. Therefore, the adjective liminal means for one to be situated at a threshold. Having been well taught in school, I then set out to apply the word liminal in a sentence or two. So here goes. This being Mother's Day, I thought of how it is a liminal event. If you don't remember your mom today, you are in a liminal place. Your mom may disown you. If you remember and act accordingly, your place in mom's heart may indeed be secure. Throughout our lives, we find ourselves at liminal points. Points where we have the uneasy feeling that we are at a crossing, a place where once crossed, our lives will be forever changed. And what are some of them? In this season of commencements, we remember what it was like to graduate from high school or other vocational school. We vividly recall the feeling that life as we knew it was over. We were being propelled into an unknown future. Full of excitement and trepidation for what was to come, we marched forward to receive that piece of paper that announced we had arrived at the threshold of our future. All we had to do was reach out and seize it. We instinctively knew that our friendships were going to change. Our relationship with our family was going to change. The very way we perceived the world was going to change. Then, when we meet a person, establish a relationship, and realize that this is more than just the object of our lust and our desire, we reach a liminal point. The realization that our attraction to this person is more than a passing fancy and infatuation, that they are more than the one down. We reach a threshold, a liminal point. There is going to be a seismic shift. A psychological earthquake was about to hit. And that is the way of today's scripture. The disciples and Jesus were gathered together for his final discourse. They are in the upper room. Judas has already left to betray our Lord. The disciples don't quite understand what Jesus is talking about, but they know that they stand on a threshold of the unknown. They couldn't help but feel that way as they spoke with Jesus that night. Initially, they gathered thinking it was just a Passover meal taken in fellowship with their friends and their beloved teacher, Jesus. As they dined, things quickly took a solemn turn, and Jesus delivered what is known in the ancient world as his final discourse. In a final discourse, a great person who is about to die delivers a speech that reflects back upon their life. They enumerate the things that they have accomplished, the legacy they are about to leave behind. Jesus talked at length about his love for his disciples. All of his disciples, those with him at the table, and those who were yet to come. He talked of how he and his Father were one, how his friends were one with him and his Father. Jesus summarized all of his teachings for them, exhorting them to love God and love one another. Jesus himself knew he stood at a liminal point. Our Lord knew that once he left that upper room, his life was going to change forever when he went out to the Mount of Olives and to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus would no longer be there with his band of disciples. So he prayed for them. He prayed that God would protect them from division. For division would bring discord and ultimately defeat. He prayed that God would protect them in the tough days to come. Jesus prayed that they would have courage, fortitude, and love as they crossed the threshold into the world without his physical presence with them. Jesus prayed for his disciples at their liminal point. Jesus prays for us over the decades, through the many generations that have come and gone since that Last Supper in Jerusalem. Each time one of us reaches a liminal point in our lives, Jesus is there. Most importantly, Jesus is there when we reach a liminal point on our faith journey. He's there, holding out his hand to us when we decide we are going to accept his offer of eternal life. He is there when we decide to cross the threshold to declare our faith in him. Jesus is there with us in the moment of baptism when we come up out of that water, fresh from professing his lordship in our lives. He is there when we wander away, when we cross a threshold that takes us further from him, and he is there when we return. And Jesus is there when we reach the liminal point of giving up this earthly life and cross the threshold to be united with him for eternity. That is when he reaches out his hand and says, "Come, my child, all of the prayers I prayed for you." Jesus' disciples knew what a liminal point was that night, even though they couldn't give the dictionary definition of it. They had that eerie feeling that something wasn't quite right, that things were about to change. We know that feeling too. Whether in the moments before a proud graduate receives their diploma, or in the moment when a bride and groom's eyes meet from one end of the aisle to the other. We know the exact moment when we are at a liminal point. And Jesus knows also. And he is always, always at the threshold with us. Whatever that point may be, he is prayerfully, expectantly holding out his hand, ready to steady us when that shift comes. Amen. Our prayer hymn this morning is number 506, Open Our Eyes, Lord. It's a very short hymn, so we may have to sing it through several times. If you have a prayer request, jot it down on the cards in the pew in front of you. Pass it to the end of the aisle where they will be collected by our deacons. And please remain seated as we sing our hymn. Several requests for prayer this morning. We are asked to pray for those with children who have passed on and are with our Lord and Savior. We ask for prayers for Ken Harwood, who is in CCU. He is having several issues with diabetes. We ask for prayers for Irene Whitaker, an aunt to Barbara and Bill McKay. She is in the intensive care unit. We pray for safety and love for families in transition. Shirley asks that we bless the new graduates with guidance in their futures, and especially for Olivia Shea Jones, who graduated this weekend. Congratulations. And just don't scare us like that anymore. Okay.
I already told her that.
Thank you. She decided to surprise Olivia at her commencement by taking an ambulance to Hartford Hospital. Nice. It was dehydration and a medication imbalance. So we're very grateful that Shirley is here today. There was a lot of praying going on yesterday morning.
Thank you.
A lot of praying going on. And I have a request, actually two requests. One, to pray for Ron Tooley and the entire Tooley family. And then a request from Terry. I pray for my dad that he has strength in the coming days and weeks and that he is never alone. Fortunately, we know we're never alone, Terry. And this is your dad's family. We will be here for him. And he knows that. But our love, our concern, our prayers are with all of the Tullys this morning, especially Ron. Let us pray. Lord, at every threshold in our life, you have been there. Whether we recognized and acknowledged you or not, you were there, ready to steady us, to stabilize us, to help us and welcome us. We thank you for that assurance. We thank you for the sure knowledge of Christ's love, the love that showed us the love of the Father, the love that taught us how to love one another, to care for one another, to laugh with one another, to celebrate with one another, to work side by side with each other, and to suffer with one another, to grieve with one another. Lord, we are so grateful for those lessons and for the knowledge that at every threshold we cross, Jesus is there to guide us. Lord, we remember those this morning who are in transition, those who have graduated from school and are about to embark on the adventure we call life, to embark upon new careers or further education. We ask that you would watch over and guide them, Lord. Show them their way in this topsy-turvy, troubled world. For those who are ill, we pray that the Lord would draw close to touch and to heal, to comfort and sustain. We thank you for all of those who practice in the medical field and all who are first responders. We thank you for their care, for their excellent treatment, and for their skill and knowledge. This morning, we remember those who are torn by war, whose homes have been destroyed, whose cities have been leveled, who wander the earth seeking a safe place, a sanctuary. So we ask, Lord, that you would watch over them, that you would make your presence known to them, that as they stand on the threshold of the unknown, you would lead them to new homes, to new safety, to new sanctuary, where they might flourish, raise families, and find meaningful work. On this day, we remember those who serve in our armed forces, for those who serve in places of great danger far away, who have sacrificed so much to preserve freedom. On this day, we ask that you would be with them. Let them know of our prayers. Give them the courage, discernment, and rest that they need to face each and every day. And Lord, we pray for an end to war so that all might come home to be reunited with friends and loved ones. And for those who come home wounded in body or spirit, we ask your special blessing. We ask that you would send the healer to walk with them, to help them as they cross a threshold into a new life of healing and rehabilitation. Lord, through all the thresholds of life, you have stood with us. You have reached out your hand and you have guided us. We trust that our Lord and Savior will continue to guide us and bless us. For we ask it in his name. Amen. There have been 2 cell phone calls this morning, and I would just like to say that better be God calling. Our final hymn this morning is number 660, There is Sunshine in My Soul Today. We will sing verses 1 through 3, Shall We Stand?